weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. They are mighty, mighty, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We come against sickness. We come against disease. We come against demons. We come against lust. We come against rebellion. We come against the world spirit. We come against anything and everything that could contaminate or pollute your people or hinder them in their walk with you. And we say, get out of this room. Get out of this sanctuary. Get away from God's people. These are not the weak and the erring and the frail. These are the mighty. These are the mighty. Wake up, the mighty man. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, wake up. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, let the weak say, let the weak say, let the weak say. Come on, lift your hand high. Every Christian, every Christian, every Christian, lift your hand high. I dare you to say, I am strong. Say, I have joy. Say, I am healed. Say, I am delivered. I am justified. I am sanctified. I have power over all the power of the enemy. Come on, say it again. Say, I have power. Say, I have power over all the power of the enemy. Now stretch your hand out and tell the enemy to get out of your way. Mountain, move out of our way. If I have faith as a grain of mustard seed, I can speak to this mountain and I can say, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it will obey my voice. You can praise him better than that. Praise him until it gets out of control. Praise him until it gets out of control. Oh, praise him until it gets out of control. Oh, yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It is written, listen, for every sick person in this altar, for every person suffering with some kind of infirmity in this altar, I'm grabbing Sharon's hand, but as if I'm grabbing every one of your hands, and I'm saying, it is written. It is written, bless the Lord, O my soul, who heals all thy diseases, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That means this pancreas has to be brand new. That means every organ of the body that's failed has got to be brand new. He satisfies your mouth. Everybody say, my mouth. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Good things, good things. Like the declaration, with his stripes I am healed. Like the declaration, I am the Lord that heals thee. Like the declaration, he sends his word and heals them. He satisfies your mouth, your mouth, your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I challenge every person in here. I don't care if you even have a body free from sickness. Lift your hands and begin to thank God for renewed youth. Your whole body being renewed in the presence of God. New vitality, new strength. Parts of your body that have been degenerated, being regenerated. God regenerating organs, regenerating parts of the body that are malfunctioning. Regenerate, 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 regenerate. Something's happening right now to you. There is a stronghold under your feet tonight. More than ever before, you're arising over it. Would you lift your hand? To be more than a conqueror through him who loved you. More than a conqueror through him who loved you. More than a conqueror through him who loved you. Are you the guy wanting to get married? What's your name? Charlie, if you're going to get married, get ready to be the priest of your home. That means you pray. That means you fast. That means you find the will of God for your family. That means you find your purpose as a man and a woman team together to do the will of God. Marriage is not a simple thing. It's a joining of two areas of giftedness where you make up your mind. We're serious, not only about each other, but we're serious about fulfilling a role together in the kingdom of God. God wants to take you to the next level. God wants to take you to the next level. And the ladder, I see a ladder taking you from where you're at to where you need to be. And that ladder has the word serious written on it. God says, get even more serious about the things of God. More serious about your calling. More serious about your purpose in life. If you can respond with an amen in your soul, would you lift your hand to God and tell him that you're ready? Just spoke to my heart and said, release the prophets and the prophetesses in the house to walk among the people. Brother Jim Engel, you and Sharon, be released now to walk among the people and pray for them and agree with them and speak over them. I'm going to walk among you. Sister Dallas, if you feel too, walk among them. And if you have appointed leaders in your church that you empower to do that, then they know who they are. I'm not talking about just anybody, but if you're an appointed leader in the church, then I want you to be released to walk among the people prophetically. There's some people that are almost to their breakthrough, but they need you to push them over the edge. Come on. Come on. One more time. One more time. As I walk among you, as they walk among you, lift your hands, would you, and praise him until you pray in tongues. Praise him until you pray in the spirit. Praise him until holy fire. Fire grips you. There's some miracles happening in this altar. There's some miracles happening. Now I want you to pray for each other. I want you to turn around and lay your hand on somebody next to you and pray until the fire of God hits both of you. Come on, pray until the fire of God hits both of you. Pray until the fire of God hits both of you. Lord, touch him. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be restored. Has spoken in tongues yet to get filled. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost and spoken in tongues? Have you? You have. Anybody around here never been filled? Never been filled. You haven't been filled. Anybody else? You haven't been filled. Something's happening over there. Oh, come over here, brother. Come over here. Come on. Come on. Lift your hands and don't ask God. Don't ask God to fill you. A gift is a gift. If I gave you $100, you wouldn't beg me for it. Don't get your hopes up. But if I were to give you $100, you'd say thank you and reach out and receive it. Tongues is a gift. The Holy Spirit's a gift. Don't beg God for something He's already given to you. Begin to thank Him for it. Go ahead. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Go ahead.
Have you got it? Have you got it?
Have you got it?
Have you got it like the Bible says? Have you got it?
Have you got it?
Have you got it?
Have you got it?
Have you got it like the Bible says? Filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Have you got it like the Bible says? Filled with the Holy Ghost,
speaking in tongues. Have you got it?
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 Have you got it
like the Bible says?
Have you got it?
Have you got it?
Have you got it?
Have you got it?
Have you got it
like the Bible says?
He's flowing,
He's flowing
like a river. Have you got it
like the Bible says?
He's flowing,
He's flowing
like a river.
Like a river.
Have you got it
like the Bible says?
Disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. If I was the Lord and my followers had made that request of me, I think my automatic response would have been, to perform the greatest miracle I had ever worked, to stun them into the realization of the power of faith. Lord, increase our faith. But instead, he gave them two little mini parables that didn't last a minute. And the first one went this way. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to this sycamore tree and say, be thou uprooted and cast into the sea, and it will obey your voice. Why would that increase their faith? Because the disciples had no problem believing in God's word, but they had not yet arisen to the place where they believed in their own word. So he needed to move them up to the next level. Lift your hand, one hand toward heaven, and say, I believe in God's word. But lift the other hand and say, I believe in my own words. Especially, say especially, when my words match God's words. Because see, God could do it all by himself, but he chooses not to. God could have opened the Red Sea without Moses' help, but he chose not to. God could have slain the Philistines without Samson's help, but he chose not to. God could have scattered the Midianites without Gideon's help, but he chose not to. God could have brought all the harvest in on the day of Pentecost without Peter's help, but he chose not to. He wants your involvement. So, as a climax to what I've said tonight, I'm speaking to the mighty right now. Would you stretch your hands out as if you're opposing everything that opposes you, and get ready to speak to the sycamore tree. What is the sycamore tree? Anything that's opposing the work of God in your life. And I'm sick of mine. I don't know if you're sick of yours. I'm sick of mine. And that is a play on words I intend. Stretch your hands out and begin to declare and decree. Say, in the name of Jesus, I cast this opposition out of my life. This thing that hinders my calling. This thing that hinders my body. This thing that hinders my mind. This thing that hinders my soul. I come against you right now. In the name of Jesus, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, and I root you out of my life and cast you into the sea in the name of Jesus. Be gone right now, and it shall obey your voice. Something happened right then. Something happened right then. Something happened. I feel the calm. I feel the calm that you feel after a battle is over and the dust of war is settling and the enemy is devastated and laying flat on its face on the battlefield. That's the way I feel right now. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I said, we are more than conquerors. I said, we are more than conquerors. You remember that old song, Rocky? Overcomers in this life. How's the rest of it go? We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody together. We've been made more than thank you, Jesus. Overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to leave you with a reiteration of a thought I gave you a while ago. Bring thoughts in. Bring thoughts in and entertain them royally. For one of them may be the king and may exalt you to honor. One of my heroes in the faith is Tommy Barnett. He's a friend of mine, a man I highly respect. I've been honored and blessed to preach at the Dream Center twice in Angela's Temple. And one thing I like about Brother Tommy Barnett is he loves to awaken ministry in other people. And that's his focus. Everybody getting involved. And he preaches it again and again and again. Everybody's got a gift. Everybody's got a calling. Everybody's got a purpose. We're in this together. We're a team taking our city. Find something. People come to him all the time. What's my ministry? He says, find something that nobody else is doing and do it. Find a need and meet it. And when I was at his pastor's conference, probably 10 years ago or more, the one thing that touched my heart more than anybody else's testimony was a little ordinary lady that did extraordinary things. In fact, you kind of remind me of her. Very petite, very ordinary looking. But she came to Brother Tommy one day and she said, you've been preaching to us to find a need and meet it. She said, I've looked through every church in this town and I have not found one church that has a ministry to mentally challenged people in the church. And she said, I want to start a Sunday school class for retarded and Down syndrome individuals. And he said, do it. It needs to be done. Do it. She began busing Down syndrome and retarded individuals that had enough understanding to invite Jesus into their hearts. And in that pastor's conference, she had about 55 that had been saved in her class that stumbled their way through a testimony. They could hardly talk. Their speech was not the best, but there was not a dry eye in the place when these Down syndrome people that society would say are throwaway individuals talked about how Jesus saved my soul. I'm so happy that I am saved. I'm on my way to heaven. She found a need and she met it. Somebody asked Catherine Coleman one time how to be a success in ministry. And in her dramatic way, she whirled around and said, find something that nobody else is doing and do it and stick with it. Usually, we just echo what everybody else is doing. Before you go back to your seats, please turn around to somebody and say, don't lose your passion and don't lose your vision. Now, don't go back to your seat yet. Don't go back. Hang on, if you don't mind. Stay with me one more minute. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose your vision. I want to bring out one example. I want to bring out one example. And I'll say this to my good friend, Jim Engel. And I don't expect you to ever be a man that loses his passion and his vision. But did you know, maybe you already knew this, but did you know that the Puritans, first of all, they were in an unseaworthy vessel. The Mayflower should have been dry docked. It was unseaworthy. It was dangerous. Secondly, they had twice as many people in the Mayflower as was safe for a ship that size to hold. So they had two strikes against them. Number three, when they came down the coast of America for a land strip they'd already contracted for in Virginia, a tropical storm hit them and pushed them all the way up to Massachusetts. And the mast was about to break. And so they put their anchor down, not knowing there's a story behind it, not knowing they landed on the only place on the whole coast where they could land without being slaughtered by the Indians. And I don't have time to tell you that story. You read a book called The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall Jr. and find out the rest of the story. But they opposed incredible odds to come to a land and defy the elements. Over half of their number died the first winter because their ration got down to 7 kernels of corn a day. Think of subsisting on 7 kernels of corn. But they had a vision to establish a place of religious freedom. And I hope to God a generation of druggies and lust-seeking individuals and pleasure-seeking, entertainment-driven people don't throw away what our forefathers paid such a price for. But did you know that after a number of years, they got relaxed in their achievement? And some of the people that lived in that colony wanted to dip into the community coffer and build a road 3 miles into the woods in order to prepare for an influx of people into their community. And the majority of the community that had become comfortable in what they'd already attained rose up against them and almost deposed the leaders from their position because they said it's a senseless waste of money to build a road 3 miles into the woods that we will never need and never use. Little did they know, one day there would be a need for a road that went not 3 miles west of the community, but 3,000 miles west of the community. But they lost their vision and became comfortable where they were at. Before you even think about going to your seat, would you raise your hand and say, God forbid. God forbid that that ever happened with me. Lord, let me always be searching for a new horizon, a new achievement, a new vision, a new goal. Hallelujah. You can be seated, I suppose. Whew. I don't know how you feel, but I feel energized. I feel charged. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Stay with me about 5 minutes. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know the verse? Remember the verse either. I'll figure it out after church. I want you to participate in a vision. Where there's a God-given vision, there's God-given provision. May I say that again? Where there's a God-given vision, there is God-given provision. Simply said, if it's God's will, God pays the bill. If you have an Ishmael, you pay for it. If you have an Isaac, God pays for it. How many understand what I'm talking about? If it's a God idea, it's going to get financed by God. Even if there's no possible way for the finance to come, it will come. It will come. I told you about the opportunity we have with regard to the movie or the documentary film that we're going to produce. See, it's different. I didn't tell you the details of it. It's not just a good idea. It's a God idea. I understand what it takes to qualify for secular TV. They will not air a program that just preaches biblical truth. Unless it's a certain niche that... The Lost... or what was the name of that that film... Ancient Secrets of the Bible, or The Search for Noah's Ark. Sometimes they'll air something that has a purely biblical theme if it's not the kind of program that's just promoting an evangelical agenda, if you understand what I mean. It's informational. And I know what it takes to deal with some of these secular networks. So the idea God gave me, based on the book, is to have a comparative religion program where you take a central issue, like the afterlife. Or the one the networks want to do first is the one on the nature of God. And then interview a Buddhist leader, a Hindu leader, a Muslim leader, a Kabbalah leader, a Scientologist leader. In a good interaction, loving and gentle, not confrontational, not argumentative. In fact, that will disarm the opposition not to be argumentative and not to be harsh in the way we present the message. Be loving, be gentle, accept other people in a loving way. And discuss the information. And I guarantee you, on an even playing field, Christianity will easily emerge the winner. And you won't have to argue over it. Just interview a Buddhist. What does Buddhism teach about the afterlife? And he'll go into the fact that their projection for the afterlife is nirvana. And the word nirvana comes from a root that means blowing out, like the blowing out of a candle. Nirvana means cessation of personal existence. You cease to be as a person. And then if an interview takes place with a Christian theologian, authority, please turn this down just a little, then of course it would be quite the opposite, where what does Christianity teach about the afterlife? Not that we cease to be, but that we live forever in a personal relationship with the Creator God that Buddhism does not acknowledge, that there is a Creator and we will live forever in a personal state in a relationship with Him. If I have to choose between ceasing to be and living forever, only a fool would choose the latter. offer the information, and then let people sort it out. It's a genius idea. I know it didn't come from me. It came from him. And we've got this holy opportunity to impact tens of millions. Do you know in one program, Jim, I will impact more people than I have in 37 years of preaching. Because tens of millions of people worldwide, many of whom would never come to a crusade, will tune into the Discovery Channel or tune into a documentary on the History Channel. And they'll listen because they know we give some of their leaders equal time. Give a Scientologist leader, a Kabbalah leader time to express his point of view. And some of them will tune in out of curiosity. But see, Paul was very wise. He didn't slam and bash the men of Athens over their idolatry. He appealed to their intellectual curiosity. He said, I know the unknown God. And immediately he had them because he appealed to their curiosity. It's a God idea. But we are in the fundraising stage of raising the necessary finances in order for the first program to be developed. It'll take about 6 months to produce it, the script writing, traveling around the globe, interviewing various leaders, putting the whole thing together is a lengthy process and an expensive one. And it will cost quite a bit of money, over $250,000. And we're about a fourth of the way there now. And I want you to seize the vision. The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized within the lifetime of the opportunity. Right now is a time where we still have freedom to do things like this. We better seize the opportunity while we have it and help turn our nation away from the grips of the New Age pluralistic ideas that all religions are just different paths to the same God. We've got to answer that objection in a way that is receivable. And you can be a part of that. And you'll certainly receive fruit to your account. Paul said, I seek not a gift, but I seek fruit that may abound to your account. How many want more treasure laid up in heaven for you? The only thing you keep forever is what you give away on earth. Praise God, that's the way it works.